This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
One that started it all in the United States for them. It was not their first big hit, but it was in the U.S. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. Who can remember when the Beatles came around? And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. I guess this is Turkey Day Eve, Wednesday, November the 24th. Lots of people on the road right now, an awful lot of them for Thanksgiving. We'll be talking in a few minutes with Preston Basher. He is with the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about the claims by so-called experts that the president's, what do they call it, Build Back Better? Did they make that name up on purpose to get you all confused? Build Back Better bill is actually going to help tame inflation. Experts think that the bill is going to actually help tame inflation. Well, not so fast, says Preston Basher. We'll talk with him. And Biden releases federal oil reserves. That'll do it. That's it. Release our federal oil reserves. But believe it or not, you know what? It's expected to supply Chinese and Indian needs, not American needs. What is he doing? We're going to get some thoughts on that and a few other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. And the Georgia State University system refuses to rename buildings that carry slave owners' names. They said no. Wow, we're going to take a look at why they have decided that. And you may know Joe Biden is now the oldest president ever to take office. So in our ultimate top 10, we're going to give you the other 10 presidents that are the oldest when they took office. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. It is the best place you can get a haircut, guys. Trust me, I have been going there for years. I've been going to all different kinds of places. It's the best. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And a tip of the hat to our predecessor program here, Good Morning Clearwater. They're great, aren't they? Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., Paul and Tracy Allen. All right. So, I now have read, I thought that this guy that ran through all of those people in Waukesha was trying to avoid people. Apparently, that is not necessarily the case. Did you hear the prosecutors now say he was attempting to hit them? Certain people? Wow. Attempts at criminal bail reform that put violent offenders like this guy, his name is Daryl Brooks, put this guy out on the street at low or no cost is endangering communities around the country, according to experts on criminal justice. Well, we know that, don't we? We know that so many of these people that are put out on low bail are what they call recidivists. They go back to jail because they continue to commit crimes. This guy is a walking definition of a recidivist, a guy that has a track record that goes back to when he was a kid. Police in cities like Milwaukee and Chicago and New York and Los Angeles, they are all facing understaffing and low morale, in part due to these policies. That is what this retired police sergeant and spokesperson for the National Police Association is saying. Her name is Betsy Brantner, or Brantner Smith. She says these extremely liberal prosecutors, like the guy in Waukesha, who want to talk about restorative justice, and what that means is that we are putting the public in danger by trying to give these people too many opportunities to reoffend. Now, for instance, this guy Brooks in that ran over these people in Waukesha. Waukesha is a Milwaukee suburb. The Milwaukee prosecutor's decision earlier this month to request just $1,000 in bail money for this guy, who has had nothing but a criminal history going back to 1999. So that's what's going on. And people, you know, this is why I think, you know, with the defunding of the police and the low bail and all these other nutty things that people are, for some reason, thinking we're going to try something different. And they never work. They never work. This is why you need a strong police force. And this is why you've got to treat people that continue to commit crimes and that could kill people. You got to stop letting them out. I mean, why do we even have to talk about it? Very, very, it's a sad and it's a terrible situation. Now it looks like this guy, at first we thought he was trying to avoid people. Now it looks like this guy was intentionally, he was told, he knew what he was driving into. Now, I think there's probably obviously something mentally wrong with him. You know, but that's too bad. He shouldn't be out. And that's kind of a scary scenario, I tell you. Anyway, let's do this. Let's take our break. I cannot wait to talk with Preston Brasher of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about some experts are making this kind of dubious claim that Biden's big spending bill is going to help lower or tame inflation. Are you kidding?
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it good
to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you
make
me cry.
Hey, we are back on the day before Turkey Day. Are you excited? Are you ready to get together with people and have a big meal and, I guess, watch some football and all that nonsense? It's a great day. It really is. We are delighted to have Preston Brasher join us. He is a senior editor for tax policy at the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about this, I guess you call it the reconciliation bill, Preston. A trillion, multi-trillion dollar bill. Nobody's going to read it. Not even the people that vote on. We know that. And I love the opening to your commentary on this whole thing about experts making dubious claims that the big spending bill will help tame inflation. You say, you quote Thomas Sowell, the economist Thomas Sowell, black economist, wonderful guy. Many of the great disasters of our time have been committed by experts. That's true. Go ahead. I want to get your thought, though, on this whole scenario.
Well, yeah, it's been interesting over the last year or so, looking at the inflation numbers, and they've been telling us for a while now that, oh, this is all going to be transitory. And, you know, here we are almost a year later, and they're starting to backtrack a little bit. And they're saying, well, you know, I guess maybe this will be around a little bit longer than we thought. But, you know, really it's just the economy, you know, getting started back up again. It's COVID issues. It's not because of any of our spending problems. It's none of that. It's not the Fed, anything like that. So they want to kind of point to these other things and deflect a little bit. And, yeah, here we are. Inflation is hitting people's pocketbooks. And finally, I guess the Biden administration's acknowledging that. But they're actually coming out there and saying that their bill is actually designed to tame inflation.
Do you think Biden really believes that?
No, I don't. I don't think he believes that, although it's hard to know exactly what he's thinking.
I know. Any right-minded person in the administration, do you think any of them really believe that?
Well, yeah, probably not very many of them.
No.
They have to know, I think, that they're putting together this plan, and they're using these budget gimmicks. You know, you have 1 year of spending that it's going to take 3 years of taxes to pay for. How is that going to improve inflation when you're throwing more money on the, it's throwing fuel on the fire right now.
Yeah, the key is they're backloading it. They're spending the money up front.
Right.
And they're telling you that, well, here's what we're going to do, and over the years we'll get the money back. They don't know that. They're making up numbers. I mean, you can use that formula to get away with anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the analogy I use is they call it paid for, but it's only paid for in the sense that a car lease is paid for. Yeah, eventually it'll be paid for, but it's not paid for now.
Yeah, and in the meantime, they're gone. And they got a whole new Congress, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and a new president. And when the bills come due, they're not around anymore. They want to reap the benefits of giving out money. And now, and the other thing is, we're printing money. We're not. I don't see any tax increase to pay for it. We're printing money up front. We're hoping people will buy our debt. They have been, up until now, at least. But the more dollars that are out there, I mean, just common economics will tell you there's only a limited amount of products. So if you print more dollars, it's going to cost, you're going to end up spending more money for them.
Yeah. Well, there are some tax increases. So I guess take that for what it is. But
when we get our taxes due thing for April the 15th of next year, are we all going to see a jump in our taxes necessarily in terms of the percentage?
So most of that's going to hit the businesses, and you know what businesses are going to do when they're taxed. They're going to pass that along. So, again, there's a lot of reasons.
That's true.
Very, very skeptical of the claim that this bill will reduce inflation.
Yeah, exactly right. So Biden's numbers are in the tank. People are not buying into it. Let's get to the whole thing. This bill. It's a multi-trillion dollar bill. They don't even know if they're going to have enough votes in the Senate, right?
Right.
I mean, is this thing in your projection? Is this thing going to be passed, do you think, before the November elections a year from now?
So I don't think it's going to pass in its current form. I think it remains to be seen. I think they'll want to get something done. But whether Manchin and Sinema, and I don't think it's necessarily just them either. There may be some others that are kind of using Manchin and Sinema to cover a little bit, that may also be on the fence on this one. But yeah, I think they're going to push for some concessions and get this pared down, and we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not the transformational change they want it to be.
Yeah. We're talking with Preston Brasher. He is senior editor for tax policy. I think it's the Herman Institute there at the Heritage Foundation. He's penned a piece. Experts make dubious claim the big spending bill will help tame inflation. Now, Biden says, we've got a bunch of Nobel laureate economists that say, absolutely, this is going to ease inflationary pressure. I wonder if you went to all the so-called Nobel laureates and specifically asked them if this thing's going to ease inflationary pressure. I wonder if they would actually agree with that.
Well, for one thing, the Nobel laureates weren't exactly talking about the version of the bill that we're talking about now.
Right.
We're talking about a bill that was actually more paid for, at least, than this one. And even then, I think I'm skeptical that they weren't, for one thing, talking about the short-term price increases that we're all seeing when we go to the store and buying gas at the pump. Their whole point was that they could see this in improving productivity in the economy in the long term, and so they kind of have a longer horizon that they're envisioning. But that doesn't really help Americans that are looking at the price of eggs and the price of gas and the price of milk and all these different things, and they're seeing these prices go up right now. And, you know, even if you accept their argument, which I'm a little bit skeptical that in the long term this is going to do any good for inflation, when you're basically getting central planners involved and dictating how the economy is going to work, I just don't know when the government has ever run things more efficiently than the private sector has.
Well, the answer is they never have. How can you? If you have a middleman, in this case the government, between the one that wants the product and the one that's got it, it's going to cost you more, and it'll be less effective in getting it. It's just that simple. I don't know why people don't understand that if you take any industry and move it into the government or have the government start running part of it, notably healthcare and our educational system, have the prices ever gone down? No, they always go the other way.
Yeah, that's a great point. Everything that government ever touches, the prices go up. You talk about healthcare, they get involved in that and the prices go up. You talk about whether it's housing, the more they get involved in that, the more prices go up. You talk about education, higher education, obviously the prices are going way up there. And you compare that to the consumer goods and so forth, and you see prices of TVs and things like that. Those things over time have tended to go down because the government isn't very involved in those.
Yeah, exactly. Now they're going to, now this bill includes, I think it's still, something about paying for child care for people that work. Well, now that will go up. The cost of child care is going to go up. You're going to be paying more for child care. Somebody is. Maybe the people directly that have the kids or not, but everybody else is. The cost of anything they touch, I am old enough to remember when a doctor came to your house way before we had Medicare in 1965. And the cost of a doctor in proportion. When Medicare came along, all you have to do is go back and look at the cost from 1966, the year after Medicare, all the way till now. And it consistently outpaced inflation. Now, why is that? Well, it's because you got the government, and they're not medical experts. They're not medical experts. And they're not business people when it comes to the industry of medicine, I'm sorry, I just wanted to make that point. Go ahead.
No, I think that's a great point. And, to bring that back to the Build Back Better Act, you have essentially a 2,100-page bill where they're trying to get involved they're going to write down on a 2,100-page document how the economy needs to run for the next 10 years. And how is that ever going to make things run more smoothly? Obviously, I think a lot of your viewers are probably have a better sense for this, that they, you know, whatever niche they found in the economy, whatever job they do, they probably do it very well. And they know the prices that, you know, if they're a business owner, they know the prices that they can charge, or if they have a trade, they know how to do their trade very well. But then you have these people that are standing here in Washington that want to put together these bills that are going to basically say, no, this is actually how you should be doing your job. And of course, that's not going to make things run smoothly.
Yeah. Another thing is the actual cost of this bill. I mean, aren't they fudging the numbers there, too, as far as what it will really cost?
Yeah. So there's been various estimates out there. The Center for Responsible Federal Budget, they say that if you actually extend this out for the full 10-year period where the taxes are running, this is actually going to look at close to $5 trillion, not the $2 trillion or so that the administration is saying. So, yeah, we're talking about huge deficits if they don't, if they actually go about, you know, funding this for the full 10 years. And that's of course, their plan. They don't intend for any of these programs to be temporary.
I suspect no Republican in the Senate will vote for it. That leaves the Democrats. They all have to vote for it. There are two people that are on the fence, I suspect. I don't really know what their thinking is. But they are the senators from West Virginia and Arizona, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Other than that, I guess the rest of the Democrats in the Senate will vote for it. Joe Manchin has been the guy that's kind of led with his chin a little bit on this, and he's become very important. I wonder if he's going to hold on. I'm thinking he might.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Time will tell. You know,
I know that they're going to play games with the numbers and bring down certain things. And I think what you're thinking is he's going to go along with something that's a little less than what it is right now.
Yeah, there might be some effort to try to save face if they don't want to see this completely go down in flames, and so they can get something on board. But I don't know. They have a pretty diverse coalition of people. You have your very far left senators on the one hand, and then you have people like Manchin that, he's a little bit more concerned about the deficit. You have Kyrsten Sinema there in Arizona who's more concerned about some of these taxes. And I think you put that together, and it's a hard balance for them to strike a really, really big deal like they're trying to do now.
Yeah. What about this oil thing? I know in your article you talked a little bit about the Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, who I think is taking a lot of shots right now. She was on the other day. She didn't even know. Didn't they ask her a question about how much oil we have, how many barrels of oil? She didn't seem to know.
In the petroleum reserve? Yeah.
Yeah.
I missed that one, but.
Yeah, she just didn't seem to know. I'm thinking, what? If she doesn't know, who's supposed to? Go ahead.
Yeah. It seems like their priority is not gas and oil. They want to, you know, invest pretty heavily in these commercially unviable at this point technologies. They see that as our solution. And again, to bring that back to inflation, you know, gas and oil prices. Gas prices are up 50% year over year.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do? They're going to make sure that we don't have any more drilling offshore across most of the American coastline. And so, and then they want to apparently solve this by opening up maybe a day or two's worth of
3 days,
strategic
from what I heard. Yeah. My partner Ed Davis has a question for you.
Just a comment. Actually, the Energy Secretary, she was asked what the oil consumption for the U.S. was, and she did not have that answer.
That's it. Not the number.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Oil consumption.
Yes.
Well, they want it to be zero, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then it looks like some of this oil reserve supply is going to go over to China and India.
That was another thing we were reading about. Did you know anything about that?
Not too much. I mean, that's definitely been kind of a...
Primarily go to China and India, it says here.
Yeah,
it says Biden's move to tap the strategic petroleum reserves expected to supply Chinese and Indian oil needs as gas demands have led to global shortages. And I'm thinking, oh, that's going to look good. That'll get everybody here excited. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm sure that'll be more environmentally friendly, too, when they're...
Yes. And we know how interested the Chinese are in, you know, in green energy, at least the way things are going. Anyway, Preston, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much for coming on. And we certainly look forward to having you on again down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Preston Brasher, we are going to take our break. And when we come back, President Biden, as we said, releasing federal oil reserves, but believe it or not, the Chinese and the Indians are going to reap the benefit, not so much America. We're going to get some thoughts on this and a few other things with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Thanksgiving Eve. Ah, can't wait. I love turkey. Ed, are you a turkey guy? Do you like turkey? Do you eat a lot of chicken and fowl and stuff like that? Or are you more like,
just the turkey,
meat?
Though. You can have turkey anytime, you know?
Yeah, you can.
If you really wanted to. You don't have to buy the whole turkey. You might have turkey breast. It's all the other stuff that's there, you know?
You like the rest of the stuff?
Yeah.
It is fun. Yep. It is. Well, Biden, as we said, went on the air yesterday. I don't know who he thinks he's fooling. We're going to open the oil reserves because we are so concerned. And he was putting the blame, of course, on corporations and the oil companies. Here he is shutting down all of our pipelines wherever he can.
Actually, he said, I caught this, he said he was opening the reserves to help us get through this pandemic. He didn't. I'll pull it. I will pull it up.
Oh, are we going to inject oil into us?
No, he said it was going to help us through the pandemic.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, when the pandemic was started and was through, gas was a buck and a half a gallon.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's more than twice that now for most people. This is crazy. And as we said, a lot of this is expected to supply China and Indian oil needs. Now, they're going to release about 50 million barrels of oil held in the U.S. reserves. That'll last for us approximately 3 days for whatever portion we get. But it says here, U.S. crude, U.S. produced sour crude, appeals to foreign buyers because
of its relatively affordable price tag. So they're going to ship it over to them. So we got the proprietor of the barber pole with us. Andrew, I know it gets a little confusing, but isn't this one more step in a pothole for Biden with, you know, to go on and tell everybody, you know, we're going to release nobody's going to see a change in the price. If anything, the prices for gas will continue to go up.
Well, I don't think it's a pothole. I think it's a sinkhole.
Yeah. You know, you're right. I mean, does he think he's fooling anybody? People know that he doesn't want us to drill. He doesn't want us to frack for oil.
The only ones that are foolish enough to believe him are probably the quarter of the people left that voted for him.
Yeah.
Because even his own people don't believe him.
No. He might believe it, but he's losing his mind.
It's lost, not losing. Yeah. It's lost. He is already a refried bean.
He was reading the teleprompter. Was it yesterday? I don't know. But on the teleprompter went bad. It stopped. And when he came to, it stopped right at the end of a quotation he was reading. And you know what he said at the end of the quotation? He said the words that were on the teleprompter not meant to be said in parentheses. He said, end of quote. He said, end of quote. And then, of course, the teleprompter stopped. So he was standing there staring into the...
That's
kind of sad.
That's as good as he did the other day when he was talking about Thanksgiving. Ended up talking about Valentine's Day.
I was going to say, it's a good thing nobody typed their lunch request on the end of the typewriter. And a mayo with a...
Give me a Reuben with mustard.
You know what's sad? You see how we're laughing at this?
Yeah.
Imagine what the rest of the world is doing. They're hysterical.
They might be.
They say, have you ever seen such a bimbo in your life running the United States of America, the whole Democrat Party?
They
would get thrown out of a Boy Scout camp.
I think that you and I should administer an acuity test to Biden. You know, we could ask him a series of questions like, you know, we'll start off with easy ones like, Joe, what is your occupation? Now, if he fumbles that one, then we know he's really in trouble.
You know what's amazing? Didn't they make Trump take a congenitive test when he was president?
The congenitive and a cognitive test.
Okay, now what's wrong with Biden taking one? How come
they
won't give him one?
because he wouldn't know what the hell to say. Because it will make them look bad, because then they would have to cover it up. That's why.
Well, his is a little different. He puts the square block into the round hole.
There you go. There you go.
And, you know, again, he stumbles away from the... I know we're taking shots at him, but hell, it's Thanksgiving. He stumbles away from the dais, you know, after reading the teleprompter. Won't take any questions at all. And then he had the nerve to say this time, I'll take some questions from you next time. As he stumbles away. What?
Hey, how many people do you think they're going to say thank God for President Biden at their table tomorrow?
Not too many.
Nope.
But, you know, he's announced. By the way, we're talking again with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. He's announced, Andrew, he plans on running again. Well, he has to say that, right? He can't say, no, I'm not going to run again. I'm too damn old.
Well, he has problems walking.
So he has to say that he's running again because it's, you know, no matter what he's going to do, if he's a lame duck president, everybody will use that sort of as a battering ram on him as far as not passing any of the things he wants.
It's disgusting, Paul.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. You know what? I can't wait. The Ghislaine Maxwell trial is about to start. I want to see how long she's going to be alive.
Okay, now let's let everybody know she was the sort of the pimp for that guy, whose name?
Epstein,
yes. And he was the one that had the island in the Bahamas, right?
Yes, sir.
And all these people would show up, supposedly some big-name people showed up on the island, including the brother of the prince and a former president.
We won't mention his name, Bill Clinton, will we?
We will not mention Bill's name.
Actually, I want to say that Epstein's Island is just off St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. not Bahamas.
They didn't have any cruise ships.
Oh, it's off the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, it's St. Thomas.
My mistake.
There's another family that has property on called Water Island, which is also just off St. Thomas a little while away. A very prominent family. I think the last name is Biden.
Is it?
It is Biden, yes.
I wonder.
The rowboat to go back and forth.
I was wondering if Biden was jumping back and forth to that island.
Well, it was very easy for Epstein because you could fly into St. Thomas on a jet, and then he had the helicopter. He had the helicopter on his island, a landing pad for his helicopter. So whoever came in St. Thomas, he could shuttle them over on the helicopter.
Yeah. So getting back to Ghislaine Maxwell, who was his assistant, and you want to make a prediction, Andrew, about the longevity of her life?
Yes. I don't think it's long. I wouldn't give her a life insurance policy, especially when she starts talking. And I guess they're bringing in a witness that they didn't expect. It was one of the girls that got taken advantage of by Epstein.
Yeah.
So this is going to be good. I don't think they're going to give it much news coverage, though.
Now,
I think we're going to have to look for bits and pieces.
Do you know, by the way, where they are holding the hearings and all in court and all that stuff?
I think it might be New York.
Yeah, New York. Okay. Yeah. So it'll be like a federal court situation.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, that will be very interesting. I want to ask you another question. You know about this horrible situation in Waukesha, Wisconsin with the parade, right?
Terrible.
I'm reading that this guy may indeed have been targeting people rather than saying he was trying to avoid people.
Of course. It was the media. Listen, you know he was targeting people. He hated Trump. Okay? He hated everything. He was just let out of prison a week before and ran over, I guess, his girlfriend.
He did.
Okay?
Yes, he did.
Now, he pre-targeted these. The media is trying to make it, you know, oh, no, he was running away from a domestic thing. Baloney. The guy is guilty of sin, and there you got his woman lawyer comforting him in front of the judges. Comforting him. I'd be wringing his neck.
I know. I tell you. Well, you know, this is money for her. Big time. She's going to become well-known and, you know, this, that, the other thing.
They're not going to be well-known because they're going to hide this trial.
Well, I was going to ask you about
Rittenhouse.
Yeah, this is a black man that, by the way, there was an addition to the deaths, and it turned out to be a little girl, I think something like a five-year-old girl. It's very sad. So this guy, of course, will never come out of jail again, I don't think, after this. But it's a little bit late. The barn door was closed after he was gone from his previous problems, right?
Oh, the guy had, I forget how many felons, and they give him $1,000 bail. Paul, it's the system today with the prisoners. They're letting them out.
Yeah.
The Democrats don't want to prosecute them. What is their problem?
Do you think
they're going to vote for them or what, because they let them out of prison?
I've got one other issue, if I can ask you about it. I don't know if you heard about this, but you're from the state of New York. Did you know New York City, their council is set to approve voting rights for green card holders?
Yep, they expect, what did they say, 80,000 voters or something?
Can you believe they're set to approve legislation? It would allow hundreds of thousands of non-citizens to vote in local elections. And the measure, which is sponsored by a Democrat, has a veto-proof majority. Well, you know, first of all, that Hoosett is going to sign it as governor, I mean, as mayor. But, I mean, this is the start of big-time trouble. I mean, when you start allowing people that are green card holders or illegal immigrants just because they've lived in the city for 30 days that they're going to be able to vote?
You know, Paul, a lot of these things that they come up with need to put on the ballot for the people to vote.
Yes.
They need to put on the ballot for term limits for Congress and the Senate. They need to vote on things. Should illegal aliens be allowed to vote in our country? This should all be brought to the people.
I agree.
Not to our legislatures, Paul, because you think they're going to vote to end term limits? Never.
You're right. And I think
why are the people not voting for this stuff?
Exactly. The people of New York should have it on a referendum, whether or not to allow this. Not to allow the city council. I think I think this might be unconstitutional. We'll see where it goes, but you're right. I think it should be a direct vote on a referendum.
A lot of these things, Paul, I think they should let the people vote on the border wall. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let the people make these decisions, because apparently our government can't make any good decisions lately. I mean, if they've made one good decision since the Biden administration has been there, please tell me what it is.
Well, I would agree with you that they're doing the wrong thing, but it is a federal responsibility. It would be hard to justify a vote by people. However, look what Texas is doing. They're saying, look, we are going to put up a wall on our own because we have jurisdiction over certain areas. We're going to put the wall up there. And so that's what's happening, you know. And I think other states might follow suit. They're watching to see what will happen in Texas.
Well, I'm waiting to see how much money the news media has left and Joe Biden when little Kyle Rittenhouse gets done with him.
Well, that's another thing.
He might be able to build the wall.
might be able to buy one of the states for himself.
I can't wait to see them go after Joe Biden,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah. Now, remember that when a public figure says something, sometimes it's hard, but we'll see. Once he's out of office in particular, there might be a little bit more of a chance.
The President of the United States never should have even made a comment.
No, of course not. Of course
none
not.
Whatsoever.
You're right
the guy
about
is
that.
An idiot for saying something, and he should be dealt with.
You're right about that. I want to wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving. You and Nicole, is she doing well, your
She's
wife?
She's doing great, Paul. She's been cooking for the last three days.
Outstanding. Happy Thanksgiving to her, to you, to your entire family. And we're going to take Friday off, so you'll be able to digest your meal on Friday, Andrew. But we will talk with you again on Monday.
You got it, buddy. You guys have a good Thanksgiving.
We will.
Talk to you later.
All right, sir.
Bye-bye.
There he goes, the Master Barber. All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back, the Georgia State University system refuses to rename buildings that carry slave owners' names. We're going to take a look at just why they did that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are on here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. And we are so glad you're with us. However, if you can't listen to us at those times, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website and listen to our program anytime you want. He puts it on podcast for us, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, Georgia's public university system, they are not going to rename any of their 75 buildings with ties to slavery or racial segregation. Now, why? Because they say history can teach us important lessons. Now, the Board of Regents for Georgia's public university system said that history can teach us important lessons that, if understood and applied, make Georgia and its people stronger. So they voted unanimously against changing any of the names. There had been a committee established to study the names and potential changes. And so they were looking at these 75 buildings that are named after Confederate leaders. They would have had to basically change all of those buildings, right? They're all Confederates. And so, of course, this outraged a lot of people. Here's a group called Rename Grady for one of the buildings, I guess. The decision by the board to keep the names of known racists, segregationists, and white supremacists of the state's public colleges and universities is not surprising. It demonstrates to us that the board's support of racism, do you believe that? The board's support of racism and the upholding of white supremacy. Look, why don't we take down every single person that was around that has a statue up, that had any money during the colonial era? George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, let's take his situation down too. I mean, and they've tried to. They've tried to take these people's statues down. It's getting stupid. It's getting stupid. We're trying to take down statues of Christopher Columbus, are we not? Why? These are people that helped found our country. George Washington, he helped found our country. Obviously, Abraham Lincoln. And he was working to save our country from slavery. So, come on. We got to take a breath. And those that do not understand or learn their history are condemned to repeat it, as they used to say. So there you go. All right, Ed. Before we get to our top 10, and we have a good one, I wanted to ask you, first of all, since last we spoke, I watched our beloved Buccaneers. And I thought they played a pretty good game on Monday night. What do you think? Tell us about that game.
Yeah, I mean, if anything we've learned so far these last couple of weeks is nothing is a sure win. You know, a lot of teams this last 2 weeks or so that were really good teams lost to really bad teams. So it doesn't matter. What you have to do to get out with a win is a win. And there's still devastated on defense. The Bucs' defense is still with cornerbacks. They're still very light in that area. And Antonio Brown, a wide receiver, you see how much he really means to the team just being on the field. Because, yesterday or Monday, you did not see any deep shots down the field. Nothing past 20 or 30 yards.
Tom Brady, the quarterback, was peppering short passes. Yep. I see. So they've played about, 10 games? They got about 6 left now?
We got 7 because this is a 17-game season.
Oh, that's right. They added a game.
Yeah. So this week, Sunday, they will be in Indianapolis take on the Colts.
And do they look playoff-bound to you again? Looks like they are.
I think they do. Because especially on offense, the defense thing will work its way out. We'll get another Carlton Davis. Hopefully, he's another cornerback that's been hurt. Hopefully, we'll get him back within a week or so. It looks like it will. And then our secondary will look a lot better. But we're also going to get Scotty Miller back. He's just been reactivated, our wide receiver, who has played a big part last year in the Bucs wins over Green Bay. Remember the one at the halftime? They chucking it down the field. Tom Brady calls him Scooter because he's so fast. But there's another guy that can stretch the field. So when you get those two weapons back, look out.
Make Tom Brady look better, too. Right.
And Gronk was back, too.
That's right. They're tight end.
Yeah.
So they'll kind of get the team back in good shape offensively. Yeah. All right. It's time for our top 10. And, you know, last Saturday, Joe Biden turned 79 years old. But he was the oldest president to take office. The oldest. So we went back and we found who the other 10 were. And we're going to give you the top 10 oldest presidents to take office before Joe Biden. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Number 10. Gerald Ford. Now, you remember he took office Mm-hmm. He took office after Nixon resigned, right?
Right.
Gerald Ford was 61 years old.
Wow.
He did not win his race when he came to rerun again against Jimmy Carter.
Spring chicken compared to Biden, 61.
He was only 61. Yeah. All right, number nine. John Adams. He was also 61, but he was 61 years, 4 months. So he was a little bit older, apparently.
You got his autograph, didn't you?
I knew you would say something stupid like that. I got his
Frank
father's
Sinatra.
Autograph.
No.
I got his father's autograph.
Oh, you did.
But John was not around when I was looking for him. Okay. So where are we? Now you got me all confused. All right, here we are. Number eight, Andrew Jackson. Now, I know that I saw the autograph you have from Old Hickory, Andrew Jackson. Mm-hmm. 61 years and 11 months old.
Oh.
Remember, he was the big-time general, Battle of New Orleans and all that. Number seven. All right, being realistic, I do remember this guy, Dwight Eisenhower. Dwight Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. He was 62. You know, he had just come out of World War II. He was the big hero of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, both parties were hoping he would consider running for president, the Democrats as well. Number six. Zachary Taylor, 64 years, and 3 months. Zachary Taylor. Now, back then, I mean, this is like in the 1840s. Back then, they didn't live that long. So he was an old man, you know, in comparison. Number five, George H.W. Bush, the first Bush. He was 64 years and 7 months old when he took office. Wow. Mm. He lived into his 90s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number four, James Buchanan. James Buchanan was 65 years old. He was the 15th president of the United States. Number three, William Harrison, 68. Mm. That was old back then. He only served 1 month. He died of pneumonia. Did you know that? He died of pneumonia 1 month into his presidency. Number two, Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan was 69 years old. 69 years old. People remember him as an actor and all that, but maybe they forget how old he was when he took office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ed, what do you think? Who do you think was the oldest president other than Biden to take office?
Donald J. Trump.
Bingo. You are right, sir. He was exactly 70, not exactly to the day, but he was 70 years old. And he was the oldest until Biden came along.
But he didn't.
But
act.
The difference is he doesn't act
exactly
as old as Biden acts. That's the difference.
Exactly.
I mean, I was listening to Trump. I think he was on Hannity and they was being interviewed. He's as sharp as a tack.
Still, yes.
Must be all of those Big Macs that he eats. Maybe there's some special secret sauce.
Yeah, keeps there is a secret sauce in there, yeah.
There is. And that's why we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what's keeping him young. Who knows? Anyway, we want to give you all our best wishes for Thanksgiving. We want you to drive carefully if you're going anywhere. Enjoy being with your family. Thank you for listening. We will be taking Friday off, so we'll be back Monday. Remember, freedom works.